You, me, he, she, what are we going to do about it? Nola has no idea, but we're going to talk about it. She's got to have it up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Can never go wrong with Chris, never.
No, never.
Shout out to Spike Lee. You know that's your guy. Hey guys, welcome to the AfterBuzz She's Gotta Have It review part 2, episodes 6 through 10. We have a lot to talk about, so we're just going to get into it. My name is Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom. And I have some beautiful ladies with me as my co-hosts, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
What's up, guys? This is Marielle Turner. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Marielle_Turner.
Hey guys, it's Drew Jones, and you can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ.
Hey guys, my name is Mina Wahab, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Mina Makes Magic.
Ooh, you're making magic with that shirt, girl. Yes. Come through. Wow. So, She's Gotta Have It, part 2.
Part 2.
How are you guys feeling? Let's start there.
A lot of things.
Yes, a wide range of feelings. There are moments in the last few episodes that I loved, and then there are the other moments where I was like, this is a little selfish. Like, this is just, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Kind of like how I felt.
I feel like
she never changed, though. She stayed the same throughout. It's not like this was unexpected. She carried the same behavior throughout, so can we really be mad at her being selfish when we praised her for being selfish in the beginning and now we're just over it? I don't know.
I think it was just too much.
Like, it was just so upset.
I feel like the savage reached its limit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you love it, but it's like, all right.
I was like, okay, girl.
Come on.
Right, like, that's just not cool. Come on.
Come on, Miss Darling. Well, let's get into it. So we come back. We already left from episode 5. We come back to the new episode 6, and of course, we're all hashtag Team Mars. Who doesn't love baby
Mars? Love Mars.
And I love how the episode starts. He has his little vlog that's going on. He's talking to his little Jordan friends and people on the Jordan vlog. And we learned that he's dyslexic. He has dyslexia. And I will say this before I get into it. A lot of people on Twitter were totally Team Mars. And that's what I love to see, even throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. My feelings changed about the three of them, but we'll kick it with Mars. So Mars is here, and Nola has an art show that her friend Chloe got her into at Dumbo, which I thought was super dope of her. Mm-hmm. She was super nervous, and she wanted to get her art out there. She has to get to the art show. So who shows up? Mars.
To my take babe. Her art.
How do we feel? Did you feel like she was a little bit too hard on Mars?
I feel like she's always too hard on Mars. Like, I think she definitely was too hard on him. It seems like he's always just trying to be there for her, and, you know, support her, and she keeps pushing him away, but she still wants the attention, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's mad ungrateful. I wish when I was 22 that other 22-year-old guys were acting the way. I mean, I know she's older, but there was no 22-year-old guys I knew acting like that.
I'm like, if my boo can go out and find a random bike, take my artwork from Fort Greene to Dumbo. For those who don't know, Fort Greene to Dumbo is, like, even though it's Brooklyn, it's on the other side of Brooklyn.
On a bike.
Mm. That is insane. I barely want to take the train to the other side of Brooklyn. So for him to do that, and I get she's nervous and her nerve, she has the jitters, mm-hmm. and she just wants her artwork to get her because Chloe's calling her like, girl, where are you? I'm like, No, don't do that to the baby.
Right.
It's Mars. But what I love about Mars, even when she's hard on him, he's still like, you know what? I got you.
I know.
I'll meet you there. Even when she told him not to go inside.
Yeah. He understands that that's how she functions. Like, I feel like, I personally feel like Mars gets her better than the other two, but that's just how I feel.
Yeah, I agree.
I also feel like a lot of younger guys, when they date older women, I feel like younger men are just always trying to please older women, so they usually just step back and just let them do them, which I love.
Yeah, I do think that. That probably has a little bit to do with it, too. Like, oh, she's older than me, she's mature. Mm-hmm. Like, what can I do to make sure she stays interested? So I think
he appreciates the sass because she's older.
Yeah.
So we get to the art show. I just want to say major shout out to Fab Five Freddy for making an appearance at the art show, because back in the 80s, for those who don't know Fab Five Freddy, he's from Yo MTV Raps, but back in the 80s, he used to be an artist, and he was, not saying he was doing other things, I'm not going to say what Fat Boy Freddy was probably doing in the 80s, hanging out on the Lower East Side, but I thought it was dope that Spike included him in this, and Nola has her art up, and she's nervous as hell, but what makes it worse? her three boos show up uninvited to awkward. Her art show.
Very and she's awkward.
So have you guys ever been in a situation where you're dating someone, one, two, or three, whoever, and you're in a situation where maybe you're talking to someone else and you're there with one boo and somebody else just happens to pop up? But we're all single. We're all single. Has anyone ever been in that situation?
In my, like, earlier colleges, like, I was telling you earlier, when I was first, like, meeting the person I was seeing, I, like, there were other people I was, you know, entertaining, and, like, I was in a sorority, so we had parties, and they would all show up because they were all in fraternities. I was like, this is bad. But the entire time I was thinking of that song, Paranoid.
Oh, yes.
I was like, that is, like, the theme song of this current moment.
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever been in a situation where, like, I was dating. Everyone's dating, right? Everyone's single. We're single. But, like, my potentials were in the same place. I feel like I would run away from that.
I would
like,
die.
That's too much.
I would what about
dream never. Like, and I always, like, wonder, like, what if you accidentally text the wrong person? I mean, like, how do you get out of that situation? And it's in Nola's stress. Case, like, she always uses the wrong name.
Always.
When she's orgasming.
It's crazy. Even though, even though they know about each other, it's still, like, gut-wrenching when she says the wrong name.
Yeah.
I definitely sent a text to someone that I shouldn't have done. And I definitely called him someone else's name. And I tried to cover it up. I think I said this last week with the whole, like, oh, it was my friend using my phone. And he's like, you tried it. So.
Right.
And mind you, I'm single. This guy wasn't even my boyfriend, but I just felt bad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I felt embarrassed because it's like, I could have just been honest.
Right.
Like, you know what, my bad, that's somebody else. But we have our moments.
We do.
We have our
it
moments.
Happens.
What I love about these three guys, they just don't give up. They don't give up. I'm like,
so
where can I find a Jamie, a Greer, and a Mars? So what we see is she's at our art show. None of them are invited, but they're still there to support her. Mm-hmm. Jamie brings her the beautiful flowers. Greer's just there looking at himself and admiring himself as always. Mm-hmm. Mars is on a mission and it's like some detective work and he's trying to hold his girl down and he figures out that weird ass Dean is
so
on
weird.
It.
Yeah, that was such a weird side plot. And I think I might be the minority, but I actually did not like them coming without being invited. Like, I feel like you can't just pop up at someone's thing. Like, you know, wait for the invite. Even if you're there to support, even if you're going to do amazing things there, like, that person doesn't specifically ask you to come, you probably shouldn't just pop up.
No, I agree, because I feel like there's, like, a sort of, like, low-key selfish
motive
there. Like, look at me, like, I'm trying to support you, and, like, even though this is your moment, I'm trying to turn it on and make it about you and me.
Yeah.
I like that.
And it's like, bro, it's my moment. You weren't even invited.
Exactly.
Now you're forcing me to have to talk to you, and you know, and they knew deep down that boo number two or boo number three might show up. So now you're putting me in a situation where now I have to either introduce you guys or explain, and this is my night. My parents are here. Ex-girlfriend's here.
Saying.
The babies are here. Dean's being weird. Like, the critic is trying to now talk to me, and because now I'm distracted, I'm not paying attention to the art critic.
Exactly.
Did you guys recognize him from The Princess Bride, by the
way?
Yeah. He's a legend.
I love him. I never remember his name, but
I forget his name, but
But he's been in, like,
so
everything.
So many things. He also played Blair's stepdad on Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
I'm a Gossip Girl girl. What can I say? So, why Nola is being crazy and nervous at her art show, Shemeca.
Man.
Shemeca got the new cakes, and she's twerking. And I'm not going to lie, this whole scene made me very nervous.
Yeah.
Very nervous. Because I knew, I'm like, either she's going to fall, and those booty juices are going to come flying. I didn't know what to think. I'm like, something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I love the song that she was dancing to. It was actually an amazing scene. I appreciated that scene more than the first one when she was in the club. Because I felt like that was a little bit too long. Mm-hmm. This one was dope. And baby girl got her new booty done. She's feeling good. They're throwing money at her. And then she falls on her fake booty.
Jesus. I thought the guy with, like, the hands was going to be responsible.
I thought he was going
to, like, grab onto it. And it was going
to... And it was going to explode. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, he's going to, like, do like this or poke it or something.
Saw him in the audience, the first scene, I was like, this is going to meet, like, I was like, this has to come back to his hook hands. Why else is he there?
My God. I didn't even.
It was so random.
Everything was splash everywhere.
Splash.
I thought he was going to try to, like, cup the booty and, like, the hooks were just going to.
I'm like, Shemeca fell on her booty.
If you were to fall, like, you wouldn't like spray it everywhere, wouldn't it just pop inside? I think with
that, because it's like a basement illegal type thing. Yeah. And the lady was just injected. So it's not like I went to the doctor and I got the Brazilian butt lift. Not that I've been looking that up on Google. But, or it's not like I'm getting implants. It's like she's injecting her with.
I feel like it's almost like a pimple.
Yeah.
That's how it feels to me.
And then that night she got a little more injection. It just was all illegal and shady.
Ooh. That just grossed me out and it was very traumatic and it was very sad because I'm like, there are really women out here that are doing this and they just need to know they're beautiful without all that. Okay. Like, ladies, you don't need to do that.
Love yourself, ladies. I know it's tough. I know it is tough, but we have to love ourselves because even when you hear the stories about the women dying, women are still getting those if you want to do it the right legal way.
Yeah. Like, because
y'all look a mess with your legs being this big and your booties being out
big
here.
Ass
it
doesn't.
Or do it for yourself.
Yeah.
Like no one really does it for themselves. They're doing it to get approval from other people. There's even like this really cool museum in Hollywood called the Museum of Broken Relationships.
Love that museum.
It's awesome. And they actually have like one exhibit where it's like this girl who has like her breast implants and she got them removed because she only got them for her husband in the first place.
Wow.
So she literally took the implants out and put them in the
That's deep.
Do what makes you feel better.
Right. Like, whatever makes you happy, but do it the right way.
Do it the legal way.
Do it in a Motel 6 in a crappy app where some lady who's not a doctor is shooting you up.
No.
Because that is that is crazy. So while Shemeka, she ends up in the hospital because now she has an infection in her blood, which is really sad. And thank God she didn't die because women are now dying from this. Nola's still at her art show. Her boo Mars, so now she's distracted, she's nervous. Boo Mars has found that the dean is Onyx and he's trying to save the day like always. Uh-huh. She shuts Mars down. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Nola, you gotta pay attention to Mars, goddammit. I think she appreciated it, but I think in that moment she just was so nervous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She didn't know what to think. And the other artists kind of looked down on her because she wasn't a true artist according to them. And they felt like because she was close friend, I think she felt, you know.
Yeah, like she couldn't focus.
She couldn't focus.
And it makes sense because I'm sure, you know, if you're in a professional setting and you had three boos come in, you couldn't focus either.
I'd probably throw up.
Yeah.
I'd cry, throw up, take a shot, more crying, and leave. I'd probably leave.
Me too. I'd be like, oh my God.
You know what? Art speaks for itself. Bye.
Exactly.
I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave this here. Y'all hit me up with a review.
Yeah.
And speaking of crazy reviews, so Nola gets home. She's excited about the art show, but she doesn't realize she ignored the critic. And what does the critic do? He goes in on her ass.
Which, why is this white dude talking about black art?
Thank you. The black female form.
The black female form.
Him and Dean.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, let's be real. How many times have people tried to tell you about yourself and you're like,
okay. Yeah, and he went in.
Yeah, I think that's why Spike Lee did that because that happens, you know, where white or, you know, just people out there try to tell you about who you are and what you represent, and they don't come from that same culture. They don't come from your background, and it's like, you can't really tell me about being a black female as a white man. It just doesn't work.
I felt triggered by that.
I was upset. I was like, sorry.
I was like, I've been there, girl. I feel you.
Triggered. So Nola gets this really upsetting review. She's depressed. She's smoking some ganja. She just wants to sit. Sometimes you just want to be by yourself. She wants to sit in the house. But Greer's not going to let that happen. Mm-mm. So Greer comes to a conclusion that he is tired of playing games. What I love about Greer understands that he is just a fuck buddy. He looks good and he knows what he's there for. But Greer is like, no, I'm tired of playing these games. He says, I'm a great fucking catch. She's gonna get this. And he wants to break the rules. So he shows up ringing her bell while she's depressed. And I think he kind of gets her out of that funk. Mm-hmm. And even though she's upset, he's like, no, we're going out for a date. Let's go see a movie. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever experienced anything unexpected like that?
I had friends.
Yeah. Like, I have a very strict, like, please don't pop up at my house, at my job. Like, they'll just send me a quick text at least. Like, I'm in the neighborhood. Are you home?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. To me, it's just, I appreciate my space, so, like, don't just pop up without letting me know.
It's really invasive.
Yeah, especially if you're a fuck buddy, like, you're not even a boyfriend.
Exactly.
You can't just pop up at my house.
There's rules for a reason.
Yes, exactly.
And now you're, like, you're ringing my bell, and you're doing it way too much, and it's like, I just want to be alone. But I applaud Greer. I'm like, all right, do your thing,
sweet.
Bro. I appreciate it, but I'm like that, too. I'm the only child, and I have personal space, and move.
But I feel like his reasons weren't like, really, like, about you can't, her. Yeah, it had nothing it's to do with her. Him. First of all, like, when he has the flashback about how he first met her and how he only really liked her because she was the only one not giving him attention, I was like, this is so annoying. It's like,
he's a psychopath.
Like, is this really a thing? Because I feel like a lot of guys are like this. The second a girl plays coy or she's not into you, it becomes like, a mission to gain your approval.
Welcome to LA.
Once you get that approval, they lose interest. Yeah. And it's like, why? Like, why do you have to play these stupid games? Why does it have to be a prize? Why can't it just be like a normal getting to know someone situation? Like, it's not, instead of like a prize to be earned, but even his reasoning for coming around again and wanting a relationship, he's like, oh, when I saw her artwork and how she was passionate about it, then I wanted a relationship. As if she was like nothing before
that. Or as if she hadn't always been passionate about her work. Like, where have you been?
Greer. But, I didn't like it.
Speaking about being annoying, so Greer takes her out. To a restaurant, but all of his fuck buddies are in this one restaurant.
Well, he did the black and white film first.
Which is beautiful. Sweet. They do the Spike Lee walk where Spike has, you know, he usually does a thing where it looks like you're on something and you're moving. They take a selfie, they're kissing, they go out to eat, and it's just like Whoreville. Not for the women, him. He's a male whore. I'm not calling the women a whore. Mm-hmm. Calling him a male whore. And it's all his booze are in one place.
And then you see the flashbacks of him fucking. Like, it was just.
Do you think he did that purposely?
Absolutely. He's like, look how desirable I am.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't you want to be. And I'm like, do you just not pay attention to her at all? Because I feel like if you did, you know this is so not her, like.
Doesn't care.
Yeah, she really does not care. She's very aware of how attractive you are.
Oh, Greer.
Yeah.
That was just insane. I'm like, bro. And I loved it because Nola picked it up.
Yeah.
She picked up. She's like, okay, you have me here with all your Beckys. I'm out. Like, I'm not sitting here with you while women are lusting over you from across the damn waitress, the maitre d', Lily.
Oh, my God. That was a mess.
Lily.
She had to sit down for a minute. I was like, or you could just stand up.
And like, right. Like, why are you sitting? I don't know. He's very egotistical. Oh, Greer. And he's probably my least favorite boo of the three boos. Like, he comes in at number three
for sure. I did start liking him more towards the end, though. Because I saw more to him than at the beginning. Like, he's obviously still narcissistic, obviously super annoying. But, yeah, like, I think, like, he's kind of, like, cultured in a way that matches how she is with art.
Yeah, kind of.
And with, like, literature. And in that sense, he can match her. And that's what he shares with her that Mars doesn't. But Mars, I feel like, has a more genuine connection with her.
I like him more than I like Jamie.
Ooh. Well, Jamie's married. So actually, I'm going to switch this up. That's what Jamie's number three. Yeah. Greer's number two.
I was like, Jamie really pisses me off more than anyone else.
I will say, Greer made me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this. You could tell this was how he really was acting, and he was serious about it. And I'm the type of girl, I would be like, you're so stupid, but I would laugh and be like, okay, I like you. And that's how I was starting to feel about Greer. I was like, he's so dumb and so into himself, but he made me laugh, and I don't know why. So I'd probably date Greer. I'm sorry. No. Speaking about Jamie, who's now number three. Jamie's number three.
I forgot he was married for a minute.
He forgot he was married, too.
He went from one to number three for me.
Jamie forgot he was married. Jamie is homesick. He is sick looking for Nola. He is trying to call her. She's not answering. He's calling her on the date with Greer. And we find out that Jamie buys Nola's art for $10,000.
Crazy.
That
ridiculous.
How do you guys feel about that? And it's a portrait of Nola.
Honestly, I don't like it because it didn't feel like he was genuinely supporting her artwork. It felt like he was being a sugar daddy. Like, that's what it felt like. It wasn't like, because if you wanted to, like, genuinely support her artwork, you would pay, like, I don't know. It just felt like, I have all this money to throw around. Here you go. I'm taking care of you. And it just, like, left a really bad taste in my mouth. And, like, how he was so obsessed with the painting was kind of creepy. It wasn't flattering at all. It was like, ew, like, what are you doing?
What makes me dislike Jamie so much is, like, he's unlike Greer. Greer is selfish, but he admits that he's selfish and owns it. Jamie tries to be this good Samaritan, but there's always this ulterior motive to everything. Do you put as much effort into your son as you're putting into Nola? Because I don't think you are.
Sometimes you forget he got a baby.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You little boys out here making videos. What are you doing? You're freaking throwing $10,000 over at Nola. And, like, even the, you know, taking care of her, I don't think is for her betterment. I think it's for this, like, control thing.
Yeah. Because we learned he's 40, she's 27. Yeah. We also learned that he had a few soulmates and a few boos. So right. to me, it started to... And I loved Jane. Even though he was married, I liked him because I was like, oh, he's mature. Mm. He knows what's up. But then when I started to learn about him, I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a control thing. What a lot of men, they do with these young girls mm-hmm. or young women in general. And I'm like, are you giving her the 10 G's because... you really care for this girl or because you I think he did it because he felt like, oh, let me run back to Jamie even though I'm ignoring his calls. He gave me $10,000.
Do you think 27 and 40 as an age difference, like, do you think
not bad,
do you think it's gross or do you think it depends?
I think there's
on the person?
Definitely a power dynamic there.
Yeah, I don't definitely. Think it's a, I don't think it's like an absurd age difference, right. But I think I'm 25 and I think of, like,
I can't imagine being with a 40-year-old man.
It's not even that, but I just think of it like how, like, my boss is 40 and I think of what a different point in life she is.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I just can't imagine.
Like, what are we talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. What are we gonna do? We have so, you're right, I don't think it's such a bad age, but I just feel like we're so different.
Different yeah. phases of life.
What are we, I remember when I was younger, I was never into dating older guys. You had to be like a year older. Mm-hmm. I've dated younger guys, maybe 2 years younger or mm-hmm. maybe one. But even my friends who would date older guys, I remember being in high school like, oh, why? But now that I'm older, I get it, because the older you get, they get a little bit older. Mm-hmm. But I just think at 27 and 40, it's a little power.
Mm-hmm.
Especially you have money.
Yeah.
Kind of
I just don't want someone to tell me what I should be. I'm like, this is the age where I'm starting to understand who I am. I don't want you to have all this, like, control over what I'm becoming.
I feel like if he was like a creative or someone who has a young spirit.
I was gonna say, if you're 40,
if it was like a 40 where he feels like he's 30, then it makes sense. But he's like,
he's very 40.
He's very 40.
Very like traditional.
Like, if you was cool and we were chilling and you were 40 and we lived life and you didn't question me and you didn't try to control me, we could totally do this.
And you weren't married.
Yeah, you weren't married.
The funny thing is the main thing about him that she likes is just that. It's the stability.
Yeah.
From day one. So if he didn't even have that going for him, I don't know if they would have even connected the same way.
So. Probably not.
He does speak in a way that's very poetic, though.
I love the way he talks. I'm not gonna lie.
Like, you even notice later on, like, in the later episodes when they're all together at Thanksgiving, not to, like, jump ahead, she loves that he can kind of, like, silence everyone else. Like, she looks at him and she's like,
he's like a dad.
Almost like a father figure.
Literally a father figure. Daddy, father figure. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes when Jamie talks, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, he has a very, like, the smooth jazz radio station. He has that voice.
Yeah.
You know, if you guys have ever heard, like, those stations.
I love it.
But I think, back to the money, like, even if he had wonderful motives, it was all for her. Like, you have a whole household. Like, you have a wife, you have a son. Like, $10,000 is not... You should not be giving that to somebody that you're messing with. Like, that's just not okay.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a lot to go around, though. That private school of their son.
I mean, they do. $7,000 a year. They do. But
I get it. As a wife,
like, don't take the money out of the house.
Like Cheryl did as a wife, just to go forward a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm now, even though we're separated, you're still in my house.
Exactly.
That is our money.
Exactly.
And you're giving that to your son. Now, this
is
your money.
And she was the one saying, I gave you cachet. Like, I made you. And, like, I brought you up with me. So apparently there was, like, a power dynamic there where she was, like, much higher in, like, in terms of socioeconomic status that maybe in a way that he felt like he didn't have power in a way with that. Like,
I guess, she is super dominant. I mean, guys expect us to do that all the time, like, to just be cool with it. And, like, while I get that she is kind of bitchy, like, I don't know. It's mad weird to me. She did put you on. She did make you who you are. And so your response is to step out on her and then spend that money that she helped put you onto.
I made you.
On a trade.
And I was going to ask, have you ever been in a situation where you've dated a guy and you try to put in all this work and effort and he's now your ex and you see him probably with the new boo and he's doing everything that you probably taught him?
Yeah, that's...
Yes.
You know who you
are. Honestly, sometimes that's why I say, like, don't date younger guys because you're just, like, prepping them and, like, priming them for the
I'm
next
just saying.
Like, I always tell my friends, like, don't go for the younger ones because you're training them, getting them ready.
I've been in situations like that where I've had an ex and I remember we were dating and I'm like, as a man, you should get manicure and pedicures. And he's like, oh, that's so stupid. We don't even date anymore. That's all I see him do now. I'm like, you're welcome. I didn't make it. He's still, we're still cool. But, you know, I looked at it like that when she was telling him, like, I made you.
Yeah.
Even though he's like, I give you excitement, but bro, I made you.
But it's like, I put the blood, sweat, and tears to make you a man. And, like, the way you repay me is stepping out and, like,
but shouldn't you be, like, permanently indebted to someone? No. Even if it's not working just because they
But if you're living in my house and you're still climbing in the shower with me.
That's where we're going to go next.
There you go.
Great segue.
Just because Nola wasn't answering.
I was going to say, do you guys think he did that because he missed Cheryl or he felt lonely because Nola wasn't?
He was lonely. All the way.
Jamie.
Which is messed up because you can tell that she clearly still loves him.
She's her husband.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, you're trash, Jamie.
Yeah.
You fine.
But you trash.
And they never dug into, like, why exactly their marriage wasn't working, though.
He cheated.
Yeah.
But no, they never dug into, why, though. Like, if it was just, like, a him
He's
problem.
He's a man.
Oh. Sorry.
What can you say? So, speaking about men not being great, we get into election night. The clown has the code to the nuclear, has the nuclear code, I believe that's the song. Mm-hmm. We see, which I love, this. I love Spike Lee. I fucking love Spike Lee.
I was so surprised that they would incorporate this so recently post-election, because this is still very fresh.
Yeah.
Like, usually when you see stuff like this happening, it's like not like a weird tribute to, like, current events. It's usually, like, something that happened in the past, and then they're, like, showing it. So I love the timing of all of this.
Perfect. Yeah. And I feel like Spike, I feel like they did the show already, and I feel like Spike, they were going through editing, and he was like, actually, no, we gotta put Donald Trump in here.
Rewind.
And it was just so perfect because it showed what everyone's emotions were that night. Mm-hmm. I remember where I was that night.
I cried. Me too. I remember crying when Donald Trump got elected because I was shocked. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, is this what our... like, system. I didn't believe it. I didn't even think that it was possible
happening. I think half of the world
happening.
Didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And that's why he probably won, because everyone's like, oh, he's not going to win.
Yeah. Right. Like, who would vote for him?
I remember, like, that night, like, my roommates and I were just, like, we were all just sitting there just, like, stunned. And then the next day, I remember walking into Target, and Target was just, like, empty. Oh. And, like, the people who were in Target, like, you could just tell, were just, like, we all just looked at each other like, what the hell is going on?
It was crazy. Yeah. I remember, like, that night was nuts. And then I was working at a news station at the time, so I had to go into work the next day report on that. And it was just, like, way too much. So I'm glad he put that in there.
That was amazing.
Because it was very real, I think, for most people who did not vote for him or didn't think he was going to win. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Spike. That was pretty great. So everyone is still feeling election night. They have the feelings. And Greer's still around. Greer's not playing. Even though we know Greer's narcissistic and he only cares about himself, but he's letting Nola know, girl, I am here. And they have bomb sex. But what does Nola do that she always does? She calls him Jamie Overstreet. She doesn't say Jamie, but she says Overstreet. Which I love because they don't understand, like...
Yeah, I love her explanations for what I mean. You were going too fast.
She's quick on her feet.
She's quick now.
Like, she comes out
I think when
quick.
You have so many boos, you have to be so fast.
Yeah, probably.
I'm like, no love.
Also, I would not know how to dig myself out of that one. Like, as witty and punny as I am, there's no way I could get myself out of that situation.
So, I don't know what I would say.
I'm such a bad liar.
Let's do it again. I don't know.
I'm not gonna lie. I think I could bullshit my way out of it.
Yeah, I think I could,
but
too.
But I'm not gonna lie. Some of the sex scenes, I'm like...
No, Greer's body, Cleo, who was actually here, they did an interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine. Cleo Thompson, I believe that's his name. His sex scenes, I'm like, okay. They all look great.
Right, I'm not mad.
They all look
great.
Even DeWanda, who plays Nola, they all look beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's like a beautiful fucking cast.
Yeah.
Like, Spike, I get it.
They're all gorgeous.
But Cleo looked good, so of course she's still in her head. I think it's like a down spiral for Nola. It's like the first 5 episodes, you see her flourishing, you see her trying to get to know herself, and then you see her kind of going down a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
Because she's so distracted and she's trying to learn and love herself, but it's like she can't get it together. So she's excited. She has this $10,000 check. Finally, she could pay her damn rent because she is backed up.
All the way up.
She can get her art supplies, and she goes to the art store and her card gets declined. I would say this is my favorite scene when she calls up Jamie and she cusses him out and they play the song. I believe her name is Dion Harris. I Know What You're Doing. And she curses Jamie out. Mm-hmm. How did you guys feel about the scene? Because she's cursing Jamie out, but it's like she's blaming Jamie for her mishaps.
I had such mixed feelings about it because when she was like cussing him out and saying all these things, it just felt so entitled to me in a way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not excusing Jamie Overstreet's actions at all. What he did was horrible. And obviously the wife put a stop on the check. It wasn't him. But it's like, Nola kind of expected to be fed, like, this constant stream of money. Like, she even said that when she first started dating him, it was so that she could go out and, like, get a meal here and there. And I was like, oh, God, like, I know a lot of girls do that, but, like, come on. Like, to do it for a long time and then finally realize that you like the guy. And just the way she was talking to him, like, as if she expected it.
Yeah, I think it was totally unfair of her to do that, actually, because... Yeah. You're 27 years old. I'm 27. You're a grown woman. It is your responsibility at the end of the day to pay your rents, and you should not be dependent on this married man to make that happen. And, like, yes, he paid for your painting, in which case the check didn't go through. Being an adult about the situation, request your painting back. I think cursing him out like that was, like, totally uncalled for.
Yeah. Like, I understand you're frustrated, and I understand that maybe you guys... like, kind of a mutual understanding of what the relationship is. But, like, don't act like it's completely just, like, I give you sex, you give me money.
Exactly.
Because I feel like out of all the relationships, she definitely plays into the romance more with him than she does with anyone.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
She gushes more about him. Because even in therapy, when she breaks down why she likes him so much, she gets to Jamie and she's like, I care about him. Mm-hmm. He's, like, the first person that I cared about in this way. I'm like, girl... I felt to her in that moment, and I really love that scene. But then she's going down. I'm like, wait, you can't blame Jamie for your rent not being paid.
Yeah, like that. Like,
that was on you.
It was great that he bought your painting, but this is also a married man.
Right.
So now he, his wife, she took it upon herself to stop that check.
Right. Desperation also. I mean, it was, in a way, like, I kind of felt, like, you know when you feel, like, humiliated for someone else's humiliation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, when she was saying, like, I'm going to be on the street and this and that, or, like, I have to go back home. Like, why? She's saying all of this. She's kind of like making herself seem like so heavily financially dependent on him, and that was shocking for me to see, because Nola has always been like this fiercely independent badass woman that doesn't need a guy for anything, and for her to like stoop to this level where she's just like kind of expecting it, like I did not like seeing her like that
also sucks. Like, you spent $500 something on a black dress not that long ago.
Girl. Come on.
It's not like, girl. Like, you gotta get it together.
Our priorities have got to get together.
And I think it was at this moment where I was like, okay, Nola's kind of working my nerves.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing too much. You're being real immature, and like, you just need to get it together.
Yeah.
Just get it together.
Yeah. I think that's when the savagery, I was just like, all right, I love you, Nola, but
it's
not Jamie's fault. It's a great gift that he gave you, but you should always have a backup. Mm-hmm. And it's not his problem. He's not your dad.
Yeah.
You know what I think? I think, like, when you're comparing all the guys and even Opal to each other, I feel like the way you kind of, like, see who the best fit for her is when is Nola the best version of herself? Mm. And I think it's so evident that Nola is the best version of herself when she is with Opal. She's more mature.
Yes.
She's nurturing and motherly. She is, like, she gets her shit together because she knows that, like, she kind of holds herself more accountable because she doesn't want Opal to look down on her. Like, I think she cares what Opal thinks in the same way that Mars cares what she thinks.
Yeah.
So I think the dynamic between Mars and Nola is very similar to the dynamic between
Nola
and Opal. Like, Opal's too good for her, but at the same time, like, Nola is the best version of herself with Opal.
Sure,
and that's why I love seeing them together so much. Like, I love the dynamic.
I like that.
Yeah.
So while Nola's going crazy, cussing out Jamie now feels bad, so he's trying to figure out a way to make it better. So we learn that Jamie has a relationship with Fat Joe's character, Winnie Wynn, which I love his character.
Fat Joe's. Oh my God.
I love his accent. God. I don't know, like, the type of thing he's doing with his voice.
Yeah.
We learn that they grew up together in Brownsville, and they're partners, silent partners, and we learn that they come from the street together, and he comes to Fat Joe kind of demanding $10,000. You don't really get to know deep about their relationship, but you know there's something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know there's some shady.
It's something shady.
I was supporting the he asked for it show, right? Is that what he was supporting?
I don't know.
I got kind of confused.
Like, sponsoring it. I was like, wait, what is their
first,
business
deal?
Because
at first, when Shemeka's ass exploded and he got the phone call, I first was like, oh, did they just call him? And why are they calling Jamie?
Mm-hmm.
Then when the next episode, I was like, oh, he's a partner. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. But what is he holding over his head? Like, why are they being so shady?
I feel like if there is a season 2, we'll probably learn like that whole backstory.
Yeah,
y'all get it together. So he gets the money, the $10,000, and he cares about Nola a lot. He sends her the 10 G's, but while he's doing that, Nola goes to her parents, like most of us young people do, asks her parents for a loan, and she's able to now pay her rent, and she gets the money from Jamie. And I think before this, she goes to her cleansing. She goes to the cleansing with Mars's sister. Have you guys have ever been in a, what is it, Santa Maria? It's like a religion. I don't even know how to say it. And I don't want to say it wrong because God forbid, I don't want bad vibes, bad juju vibes. But she goes to the cleansing and she kind of lets go of the negative energy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when I saw her, like when she went to her parents with the money. And I think she was, I think it was kind of grown of her to send the money back to Jamie. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she had like an awakening or if it was the cleanse. I don't know what it was.
She got the grant, remember?
Oh, she got the grant. Yeah. But also, but there's some women who would be like, thanks for the 10 G's.
Yeah.
I when he was counting it, I was like, I wonder if she gave him like half of it. I was like waiting.
She's just like skimming a little off the top.
You know, maybe she, I would thought, not, I don't think she would do, but there's some women who have still been petty and mad. Oh, like, yeah. Thanks for them 10 G's. I got the grant. But I thought it was really grown up for her to be like, you know what? Yeah. I'm learning about myself.
Yeah.
I'm the person that I'm in love with. I need to figure me out.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I need a break.
Mm-hmm. I honestly think Jamie Overstreet is a total douchebag for sending her, for sending her the 10K and the painting. It's like, it's so insulting. Like, if someone did that to me, I was like, I don't need your money. I don't need, like, any of this. Like, ugh. Like, it's so insulting in so many ways to, like, mm-hmm. give her the painting and the 10K.
Yeah, because
like,
it definitely gets sugar daddy-ish, whereas before it was, like, it kind of was a transaction. Like, it was still pretty sugar daddy-ish, but it was, like, you were getting something out of it.
It's crazy. So one thing Spike does has been doing a lot in this show, which I love, is shining a light on gentrification in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. which is a really big thing. And it's big everywhere you go. LA.
Where I live right now.
It's super huge. Mm-hmm. And in Brooklyn, I love you, Spike Lee. He doesn't play any games. He doesn't stop. So we have nosy neighbor Bianca. That's what I named her. Who is just angry about everything. And she's trying to make it her mission to get rid of Popo, the mayor. She swears it's him spray painting the G's on the wall. She swears it's him that's just making a mess. She thinks he's just a racket. And I just feel like that's not the case. So he's outside, he's hanging out, Mars is trying to come over and reconcile with Nola, that's a part in the background, and Bianca just comes on and just starts shit with Popo for no reason, mm-hmm. and she does the one thing that I hate.
That you don't do. Right.
I do not do. She called the police.
That's so obnoxious. That's so, like, white privilege in a nutshell.
It is exactly what it is.
And it's like, part of me is like, why don't you go on a different stoop? Like, go on another stoop, right? Like,
Manhattan, girl.
But I also think that he's standing his ground because he isn't doing anything. Like, is that a trespassing law, by the way? Like, I don't know the legality of it. I was wondering, like, is he allowed to be
on the
stoop?
Houses will say no loitering.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you don't have that sign up, it's kind of, and if she doesn't own, I mean, maybe she does own the brownstone, it's like you have to have that sign up.
I was going to say, most brownstones, at least in my, like, dad's neighborhood, most brownstones, like, it's multiple people.
Yeah. It's apartments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not like they own the entire
thing.
So, I mean, it's kind of like open space.
Yeah.
And I love that Spike Lee put this in the show because I think it's so relevant of, you know, so many cities and Black neighborhoods in this country are being gentrified and having these neighbors come in that don't know the people that have been there for so long. And then it does become, you know, a thing where police are called and it's like, those are some more brown and Black people thrown in jail for something
or
that,
worse.
It really feels like white colonialism all over again. Like, just coming in, wiping out the natives.
And,
like,
yeah, your neighborhood.
And they made that parallel, like, about Thanksgiving. Like, I loved the tie of, like, between, like, Thanksgiving and kind of annihilating the Native Americans to that of gentrification in neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, what happened to the Native Americans is, like, tenfold, so terrible. But there is, like, some sort of, like, similar overlap there.
You see it in the community meeting that they had. You see the one side of the new folks who just moved into Greenpoint. That is very gentrified. Fort Greene. And you see the people who have been there and they have history here. And they're trying to come together, but they're trying to explain, like, we've been here. He's a part of the community.
Yeah.
He's not harming anyone.
And the whole, like, when they said Black Lives Matter and she was about to say All Lives Matter and it turned into that thing, it makes me wish so badly that the Black Lives Matter movement was called Black Lives Matter too, not Black Lives Matter, because everyone is like, well, this matters. It's like, if someone has cancer,
but y'all knew what we meant.
No, but like, Right. If you framed it that way, like, there would be, like...
Nah, they would have found something else. There would have been something else,
but I just wish it was framed that way. Because I hate the, like, oh, but what about my life?
And but it's like, you know...
you're not the one who's been,
the people
like,
who created Black Lives wanted to explain, all lives does matter, but we need to shout out these Black lives that you guys think doesn't matter.
That's like walking into a breast cancer event and being like... Leukemia matters too.
Exactly.
Like,
y'all
knew damn well what we meant. That's fine. You tried it.
That scene, I actually love that scene because when she said this is reverse racism and the crowd's like, ah, that reminds me of Do the Right Thing. When the dude with the Jordans goes on his stoop and he's like, you're not even from Brooklyn. And he's like, I am from Brooklyn. No, he says, go back to Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm from Brooklyn. And that's what that reminded me of. But, you know, we learned that Nola and Papa were classmates and Papa was an Afghan veteran. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm getting my words mixed up. He was a veteran, but now he's homeless because he ran out of money. And the cops are getting close, and there's two cops are being aggressive. They're getting really touchy-feely, and we already know what happened.
I mean, this is like another issue that we don't talk about a lot is how we treat our veterans. And I think, you know, for a country that prides itself so much on being patriotic and having, like, this sentiment of...
You better get on the nail, Mina!
I'm serious, though. I think it's ridiculous because we always say, like, honor our troops, support our troops, do this. And we always say, like, you're doing a noble thing by fighting when, in reality, like, a lot of these wars are waged for, like, U.S. financial interests. Yeah. And you're sending these people out who are kind of, like, pawns in your government scheme to do this. And then when they get back, they have all these issues. They have PTSD. Right. And they're homeless on the streets, and the government could give two shits about them. So why fight for a country that doesn't have your interest at heart, but you have their interest at
heart? Mina for president.
Preach.
Don't get it.
Mina 2020.
2020. I'll be up against Kanye.
Mina
for
2020.
You know where your allegiance
beautifully said, and I
right
totally
now.
Agree with you. And Nola felt the same way. She felt bad for her friend, so she takes the blame and says, I did it. Mm-hmm. Arrest me. And they take them all down to the station, and Bianca gets right in the cop car. And I just, like, a person like that in that situation, always want to say, like, how do you feel about yourself?
Exactly.
Now there's another man and woman in the system that didn't have to be. You guys could have just talked this out. Like, normal folks, normal neighbors. Now these two people have to go to jail for no reason.
Yeah, and I thought that was such a powerful image to see, like, this white woman that moves into the neighborhood gets to walk into the cop car, and the two people of color are, you know, handcuffed and put into
thrown
the
in the cop car.
Yeah,
like,
aggressively
put
in there. I do love that she still had to go to jail because she seemed like, my business is done here. Right. Just, like, going back inside.
No, come on.
Like, you made the complaint, you gotta come down.
She's like, what? Bring your ass. Shout out to the NYPD.
And then you also see, like, Mars getting real hyped, and he's still on the... You see the cop, like, tell him, stay on the sidewalk. He's like, I am on the sidewalk. And you kind of
so
see...
It's so realistic.
Yeah, it's very... Because you see, a lot of times in the news, you'll see, you know, PD say one thing, oh, they did this and this, and then come to find out, we get video, and they're not doing anything you said.
I got nervous for Mars, too. Yeah.
I know.
And
I was
telling, and the cop is saying, like, shut your mouth. And Mars is like, why are you telling me to shut my mouth? And
it's
it's
a power trip.
And it's like you said, how often have we seen this play out in the news, or, like, in our own neighborhoods, or in our own families? Like, I've seen that happen with my own family. So I just think it is so relevant for him to put that in there.
That's crazy. So our girl Nola's out of jail. And since we have a few minutes left and we're into the last scene, we'll do something a little bit different. I won't do the rundown. I want you guys to tell me how you felt about this last scene. It's Thanksgiving. Nola is out of jail. Her family's gone. So Nola has the great idea. Not only does she want to have a Prince tribute dinner, she wants to invite the three boos to dinner.
She tried it. She tried
it. That, like, level of savage has reached its limit.
Yeah, it was too savage.
What were you guys
thinking?
So as she's setting up, I'm thinking the girls are coming over. So what were you guys thinking as you guys are watching every dude walk through the door?
So my initial reaction when I first saw it and I saw Mars walk through the door, I was like, oh, obviously her relationship with Mars is the strongest. And then I see, like, Jamie overshooting, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, what's happening? And then, like, as it's happening, I'm kind of like, this is wrong, but I totally, like, want to see what happens. So it's entertaining, and I want to see it, and I'm not, like, I'm going to try not to judge it. Because, I mean, like, automatically, I think your first reaction is like, oh, like, you want so much attention. Like, you want three people to fight over you, and you're trying to stir the pot. You're trying to cause drama. But the devil's advocate in me is like, well, maybe you're just trying to, like, be transparent and kind of, like, put it out on the table. So, I don't know, like, I was so torn, because I was like, you're an attention seeker, and there was another part of me that was like, this is as blunt as you could possibly get, But when she's, like, walking away and having them, like, have the discussion together, I'm like, you're such a shit stirrer. Like, yes. You are trying to stir the pot right now.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I did not like it. Only because, I mean, I loved it and that I'm like, yes, girl, you better have all the men. But I hated it in that, like, she didn't give them the choice or the option. Mm-hmm. It was like, surprise, here are my other two boos. Like, hope you're cool with that.
Feel uncomfortable now.
Right. Like, I think if she's as open and secure and independent as she says, like, she should be able to communicate and say, like, hey, here's what I'm thinking. Would you want to be a part of this or no? And she didn't really give them that option. You know, she just, like, dropped on them. And I know if I was one of those boos, I would have been pissed.
Yeah.
I'm like...
And none of them wanted to leave because they all want to win.
It's like a competition. And, like, half of me, I was like, yes, Noel, you get it. This is savage. Because a man would do it. Mm-hmm. But, and I get why she did it because she's like, these are on my terms. If they want to F with me after this... they can do it on my terms now. But then the other half, I'm like, Nola, girl, this is so uncomfortable. What if they all band together and murdered your ass?
Exactly,
like, I take it to investigation ID now. I'm like, what are you doing? Because, like you said, I thought it would have been dope if she would have been like, look, I'm having this Thanksgiving dinner. Boo, one and two are coming. You down or not?
Yeah.
If not, this is how I want to move forward. Mm-hmm. But it was just so uncomfortable for them. But, of course, I liked how Jamie handled himself because he became the father figure.
I was going to ask you that. I was going to say, like, who do you think handled themselves best and who do you guys think handled themselves the worst?
I think
because they all were trying to kind of be like...
They were all competing with each other.
Like, bowing down to her. Like, thank you so much for this incredible dinner.
Yeah, I don't think I would say Jamie did the best. I just think it was just his... That's his personality is very dominant. So I think he became dominant in the situation. I love that Spike Lee did the little tribute to Prince.
Yes, love that.
I want to do that. I want to do that.
So fun.
I
know.
I lived for that. I mean, I'm still Mars. Like, I'm still Team Mars.
Mars
I'm
sorry.
I felt like Mars. Like, Mars was funny. He like. Yeah, he threw some shade, but like, I just feel like I feel like he just wasn't like mad disrespectful. I feel like. I don't know. I
feel like Mars is the most genuine, and I think it's because he is young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mars is
like
such
an innocence
less
about
ego.
He's
right?
less ego. Exactly. And he cares about Nola. He brings out the Prince album. He's there, even though it's weird. She unveils the 3-headed monster.
That's when I was like, "Girl, you are going Nola, too far.
I am going to murder
too
you."
Far. And not only that, but she drew their dicks two sides. How much more can you possibly humiliate these men by drawing their dicks?
I thought Mars was gonna flip, to be honest. He was like, yeah, that's mine, but I know what to do with it. I was like,
that's why I love Mars, because he's confident, he's comfortable, and even though he's in
the
room,
most
he's, too,
secure.
He's the most secure.
He's the most secure, definitely.
And you would think the other two would be, but it's baby Mars.
Yeah, I love Mars.
Mars
he
is everything.
He is amazing.
So they do this amazing Prince tribute, which we were all here for that. And the ending's a little bit different from the movie.
Yes.
Very different. And Spike says that, I think, in the movie, he regrets the rape scene in the movie. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to switch it up a little bit. And they're so cute. They have their little itis moment. And at first, I'm like, are they about to have a foursome?
Me too. I was like, what's happening?
I was wondering. I was like, what is happening?
I was like,
right
this
now?
Isn't, like, I don't know. Like, I kind of was prepared for it. I was like,
you're about to get it in? Yeah. I was like, Noah's a real freak. Don't call her a freak.
I was hovering my mouse over. I'm like, am I going to see anything weird?
Right.
Like, I'm kind of like...
So the guys are bounced and she wakes up, she's alone. And I thought that was cool because I think she wanted to be alone. I think she wanted to give the message to them, like, look, I'm here, I love me, either you're riding with me or you're not. It was very weird the way she did it, but I think that's the point she was trying to get across. And she gives this amazing speech at the end, and then her bell rings, and it's Opal.
Opal.
Mina, you were right. It was Miss Opal.
And
Opal, which I love Opal. I have a girl crush on her. She's beautiful. She's also in a new Netflix
show
called Punisher, and it's completely different
she's
from
stunning.
Her character. Beautiful. Did you guys expect that it would be Opal?
Yes and no.
Yeah, yes and no. Just because of the movie, I wasn't sure, but I was like, they're going to give us a twist. Netflix is known to make things that should be one season.
Carry it out.
Two. So I knew that we're going to have an open ending where there's going to be a chance for season two.
Yes.
And I also think this was a really brilliant way for Spike Lee to adapt his original film to the times.
Yes.
Because, like, you could never imagine something like this being in his original film in the 80s. Like, it's unheard of for, like, a same-sex relationship.
Yep.
Especially when you're a woman of color and, like, another woman of color. But, I don't know. I thought it was really interesting and open-ended. I interpreted it as, obviously, like, Opal is going to eventually be the one, but I still didn't like how Nola left everything open-ended with the men. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, come on, like, you have someone great in front of you. Like, be sure of what you want. Like, why are you still exploring at this point? Mm-hmm. You know what you want. Like, why are you fighting
Baby
that?
Girl gotta get it together. Yeah. Which is crazy. I mean, this has been one hell of a show. I enjoyed it. And I fortunately, we only got to do 2 days of it, but it was just such a great show. And I'm going to binge watch it again. Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of do a thing with predictions since we're at the end. And I just want to know from you guys, what are you looking forward to? Because I feel like they are going to do a season two. Mm-hmm. What do you want to see in season two?
I want to see more Mars. I think that's probably we all agree at this table because he's the best. I want to see Nola be a little more considerate of the people in her life. If she's going to continue this. And if not, maybe kind of go with Opal because I think that's where her heart is. Yeah. If she was really honest with herself.
I want to see that. And I feel like they kind of had some Chloe and Mars interactions this season that I feel like maybe we might see something with that next season. I'd be down. I want Mars happy.
Yes! Mars a new love or something.
So I would love to see a new love interest.
Give Mars someone new.
Him and Chloe.
I'm interested to see that dynamic because I feel like she's so serious. I want
to
see that. So
I would love to see him break those walls. Yeah. I would like to see season two.
I don't know. You know what's funny about this show? I think there were so many great supporting characters.
Yes.
Like, the principal was phenomenal.
Bacaletta Moss.
Bacaletta Moss.
Loved her. Therapist. Amazing supporting character. Like, I would want to see more of them and see if there's, like, more of a backstory to them. Because I thought, you know, Spike Lee did such a great job of casting, like, these amazing supporting characters that, like, you just want to know more about them.
Yes.
That's what I want to see.
And I retweet everything these ladies are saying. So the last thing we're going to do, because you know Nola had the campaign, My Name Isn't. So let's just go around and say what your name isn't, and I'll start. My name isn't, yo, shorty, why you not smiling? Just smile. Why do you look so mean? That's not my name.
That's a hard one. My name isn't AU in the Red. That's it. That's not my name, y'all. Okay.
My name isn't Hey Ma. So just because you have a boyfriend, we can't be friends.
Oh! I love it. My name isn't whatever whistling noise you want to make at me because I'm not a dog, so
girl,
I don't know what you're doing.
Ladies, that is awesome. This has been an amazing
so
panel.
Fun.
So much fun. You guys, I mean, talk to us in the comments. Let us know how you felt about the last episode. Mm-hmm. Let us know how you guys felt about the whole season. We already have people in the comments talking. They were going crazy, which I love. I just want to thank you guys for tuning in with us and... I'll just tell you guys where you can find us. My name is Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom.
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Mariel Turner, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mariel _Turner.
Hey, guys, I'm Drew Jones, and you can follow me on all the things at OK Drew J.
Hey, everyone. My name is Mina Wahab, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Mina Makes Magic.
Yes, and you can find us at The Buzz TV on SoundCloud. Yeah, that is the thing.
Yeah.
iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and all social media. And make sure you check out She's Gotta Have It on Netflix and binge watch it with your girls or even your three boyfriends.
Hey.
That's it for us. Guys, it's been amazing, and we'll catch you guys next time.
See ya.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.